In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The Trinity. Such a concept is hard to fathom. The Scriptures never use the word Trinity, and those who wish to denounce and slander the triune God are correct in saying so. But just because the word Trinity does not appear in the Bible doesn't mean that the Trinity doesn't exist. We can see in the very creation of the world how the Trinity was involved in every single step, and that God continues to work in those same ways and steps. My goal for today is to focus on each person of the Trinity as they are presented in today's Old Testament text. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. This creating act is something we commonly ascribe to the Father. And whenever the word God is used in the Old Testament, it is safe to assume that we speak of the Father, unless context says otherwise. We will see that all three persons of the Trinity are involved in the act of creation, but we attribute it primarily to the Father. The Father made light, the waters, land, plants, animals, the sun, moon, and stars. This is why we say in Luther's explanation of the first article of the Creed that I believe that God has made me and all creatures, that he has given me my body and soul, eyes, ears, and all my limbs, my reason, and all my senses, and still preserves them. And in addition thereto, clothing and shoes, meat and drink, house and home, wife and children, fields, cattle, and all my goods. And that he provides me richly and daily with all that I need to support this body and life, protects me from all danger, guards and preserves me from all evil, and all of this out of pure fatherly divine goodness and mercy, without any merit and worthiness in me, for all which I owe it to him to thank and praise, serve and obey him. This is most certainly true. But not only did the Father make all these things, but he continues to do so. He is not a God who wound up the earth like a clock and stepped away to let it run. He is a God who continues to daily and richly provide for all that we need through means. The Father is very apparent in the creation of the world. But he is not the only one who is working, because someone else was present at the very beginning, the third person of the Trinity. The earth was without form and void and was a primordial deep. And the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, was over the face of the deep. This Spirit was there, hovering over the waters of creation. And the Holy Spirit was and is still involved with creation. Genesis 1 says that God made man in his image. Genesis 2 goes more into detail as to how man was made. God fashioned Adam from the earth and breathed into him the spirit of life. It is by the spirit that Adam was able to be brought to life. And not much has changed as to how the Holy Spirit works. After the fall into sin, man has become dead in their trespasses. Due to our sinful nature, we are dead and cannot come to life on our own. Just like at creation, the Holy Spirit brings us to life. He does so through the waters of baptism. Just like how he was present there, hovering over the waters of creation, he now hovers over a new kind of water. A water that recreates us, washes us, and breathes life into our nostrils. When we go through those waters, we are brought to life in the same way that Adam was, as a new creation. All this talk of the creation of man brings us to that very moment in Genesis. After God had made everything else, he says, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness." Here we have the blatant connection to the Trinity. Who is this us? Those who wish to slander the Trinity would say that God was implying that he was consulting with someone, such as the angels. He was asking, let us do this. Is this a good idea? He was running the idea by them to see if that was to their good pleasure, as if God needed to consult anyone. God was consulting no one. When he says, let us make man in our image, he is not running an idea by anyone, but he is making a statement. We are going to do this. So if God is not consulting with angels, then who is this we? Who is this us? Those who deny the Trinity in the Bible may say, well, in creation we can see the Father. And, you know, maybe because Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, you know, says that the Holy Spirit was there, we can maybe concede that there was a Holy Spirit working as well. But you're missing a piece of your precious Trinity. Where's the Son? You can't prove that the Son was involved in the creation of the world. To that, we say, we can prove that the Son was involved in the creation of the world. What does it mean to be made in God's image? To answer that, we have to answer this question first. Who is God? God is spirit, and he is only spirit. So when he makes Adam, the first man, he makes him a flesh and blood man from the dirt and breathes life, the spirit of life, into him. How can man who has a fleshly body be in the image of God if God is just spirit? Wouldn't man have to be just spirit as well if he was made in God's image? The Gnostic would say, yes, man is only spirit, and we were given flesh when we fell into sin. To have sin is to live in a physical body in a physical world. And to them, we would say, well, you're wrong. And this is what we would say, that man is made in God's image precisely because he is made both of flesh and spirit, because God is both flesh and spirit in the person of Jesus Christ. Bear with me for a moment, but take your hymnals in front of you and turn to page 329. Matins gives us a lot of time to do cool things. What you have in front of you is the Christian questions with their answers as prepared by Dr. Martin Luther for those who would like to go to the sacrament. There is no sacrament today, but I found the question asked very relevant to what we are about to talk about next. Look to question 9. I'll read the question and then you can answer back for me. Question 9. What has Christ done for you that you trust in him? Now look to question 10. Did the Father also die for you?
He did not. The Father is God only, as is the Holy Spirit. But the Son is both true God and true man. He died for me, and shed his blood for me on the cross.
Very good. The Father and the Holy Spirit are God only. Only the Son is both God and man. So when man was being made in God's image, that image included the likeness of the incarnate Son, Jesus Christ. But how can that be, you might ask? The Son was not yet incarnate at the creation of the world. He did not take on human flesh until he was born of the Virgin Mary, as we have just confessed in the Creed. How can our flesh be in his likeness if he himself was not yet flesh? Well, according to the Father's good and gracious will, it was always the plan to send the Son into the flesh. He was always going to become incarnate. Now, we do not wish to probe the hidden depths of God's will, so we won't. We only know that God knows all things. And that means that God knew that the fall into sin was going to happen. It was not a plan B kind of thing to send his Son. God always knew. He knew that the fall was going to happen, and he allowed it. He was not the cause of it. Let's keep that straight. He allowed it to happen. And yet, his love for us is so immense, so far-reaching, so deep and wide, that even knowing that man was going to fall, he created us anyway. He knew from the very beginning that I will send my son into the flesh for them, so that the price may be paid. He knew already exactly what had to be done to save us from our sinful nature, that his son would become incarnate. And he created us in that image that his son would take on. We are both somehow the foreshadowing of the image that the son would come in, and yet we are created in his image. The son would come as both spirit and flesh, and so we are thus created as both spirit and flesh. This is proof enough that the Son was involved in the creation of the world and mankind. So what was the point of all that? Was Vicar just flexing his theological knowledge for the week? No. No, he was not. Why worry so much about each person of the Trinity and how they appear in the creation of the heavens, the earth, and mankind? Because it proves that God, though he is one God, is in three persons. It is what makes our God unique to any out there. There is no other God like this, nor is there any other true God except the triune God. It proves that there is a Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It proves that though they are distinct persons, they are all equally God. They are equally all-powerful, all-knowing, and act in unity together. It is this God that we are baptized into, as Matthew 28 tells us. Go and baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. And that matters. We are baptized into the name of the God who made all things in our creation account today. We are baptized into the Father who created all things, into the Son whose human likeness we are made in and redeemed into, and into the Holy Spirit who breathes the breath of life into us. And as our creed says, this is the understanding a Christian needs to have of the triune God. We may not understand it fully or how the Trinity works, but it has been revealed in God's word that this is what the Trinity is. Three persons and one God. And we have to confess that in order to be saved, as our creed says today. And we do. We did just now. And because of that, we confess that we are saved because we believe in this triune God. Amen. Amen. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us always. Amen. Amen.